This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Hey, it's Rich. Hope you enjoyed this podcast of the Zioli Show. And if you did, please rate it on iTunes. Give us 5 stars. You know what I'm saying? Thanks a lot.
Rich Zioli Show Podcast.
Crickets from the mainstream media and the Democratic Party over a major scandal brewing in New Jersey as the governor says he won't cooperate with the bipartisan committee. First of all, I want to give you Kamala Harris is a grandstanding senator from California. She's also one of Count Grandstangela Cory Booker's competitors in 2020. So she was grandstanding a lot during the Judge Brett Kavanaugh hearings. Now, Justice Brett Kavanaugh, thank God. Well, anyway, Kamala Harris. She had an aide who resigned. Why? Over a $400,000 harassment settlement. A senior advisor to United States Senator Kamala Harris of California resigned Wednesday over inquiries about a $400,000 harassment lawsuit against him while working at the California Department of Justice. Larry Wallace resigned after the Sacramento Bee asked about the 2017 settlement. "We were unaware of the issue and take accusations of harassment extremely seriously," said Kamala Harris's spokesperson, Lily Adams. "This evening, Mr. Wallace offered his resignation to the senator, and she accepted it." Got it? She accepted it. Now, I'll tell you what, this is really bad timing for Kamala Harris, is it not? I mean, this is pretty bad. This is pretty bad when you consider the fact that she's out there again grandstanding over the fact that Judge Kavanaugh should not be on the Supreme Court. She's got a guy working for her who settled a $400,000 sexual harassment claim. Oh, it's bad. It's bad. Well, it should be bad, but she's a Democrat, so will it be bad? That's really the question. And I don't know. I really don't know because they have a different standard for them. Kamala Harris, longtime aide, longtime top Harris staff member. This wasn't an intern. This wasn't a guy who just joined last week. This is a long-term aide. The suit said Wallace had Hartley, this is the woman that he sexually harassed, run his personal errands, including booking flights for his children and washing and performing maintenance on his car. When she would return from the assigned tasks, co-workers would make hostile comments to her, including, "Are you walking the walk of shame?" He placed his computer printer under his desk and often asked her to crawl under and refill it with paper as he sat and watched, sometimes with other men in the room. Wallace refused to move the printer to another location when Hartley asked him to do so, according to the lawsuit. The lawsuit filed by Daniel Hartley accused Wallace of demeaning her based on her gender while she worked for him as his assistant. That's so often with the left, right? It's, you know, do as I say, not do as I do. The suit also said Wallace... the suit says she reported the alleged harassment in 2011, but was retaliated against. She was involuntarily transferred to another office at the State Department of Justice at the end of 2014. This is California, the State Department of Justice, California. Liberal land, lefty paradise, lefty utopia. Xavier Becerra, who succeeded Kamala Harris as the California Attorney General, said Hartley unreasonably failed to utilize the procedures during the period of time and after the alleged harassment or discrimination was occurring. So now think about this. Now, this guy worked for Kamala Harris when this was going on. She was the attorney general, and he worked for her. And the whole time that he's working for her, she doesn't know any of this stuff's going on. Then she becomes a U.S. senator and brings her over to her Senate office, brings him over to her Senate office. Now, she is a very, very outspoken, vocal supporter of hashtag Me Too. But as I said, it's actually hashtag BS because it's not really real. It's not real. She wants to run for president in 2020. That's why this guy's out. So now we have to believe she didn't know this guy was sexually harassing this woman and mocking her and humiliating her. We didn't know this. She didn't know this, even though she was the attorney general. He was a prominent position in the office. And then he goes to her to Washington when she becomes a U.S. senator. It's ridiculous. It really is. It really is absolutely amazing. Neil deGrasse Tyson. Denying misconduct at a New Jersey show. He was in New Jersey, and a fourth accuser came forward as he was denying the misconduct. Neil deGrasse Tyson is another big lefty. He's an environmental champion, Mr. Global Warming, Mr. Climate Change. He was at the NJ Performing Arts Center up in Newark, a scheduled event. And while he was there on the stage at Prudential Hall Wednesday night, Just days after sexual misconduct allegations first surfaced, and less than 2 hours after BuzzFeed News reported another accuser had come forward. The astrophysicist and big lefty addressed the claims at the beginning of the event, reading segments from a lengthy post he shared on Facebook December 1st. Now, my problem here is, of course, they cheered after he read his statement denying this, denying what this woman has said. But again, this is what I mean. This is the hypocrisy of hashtag me too, because I thought all women are supposed to be believed, right? I thought if you're a good lefty, you just believe all women. That's it. That's how it goes. If you make a claim, they're believed, period. Isn't that what we learned during the Justice Kavanaugh hearings? Isn't that what we were told when Judge Kavanaugh was explaining how this is a character assassination? What were we told? We were told that he was a liar and that he should not be on the Supreme Court because she's supposed to be believed, period. Well, so Neil deGrasse Tyson goes up there and he says that she's lying, the whole thing. She's making the whole thing up. And what does the crowd do? They cheer. They cheer for him. That's what I mean. It's not consistent. They are the most inconsistent people in the world on the left. They really are. They're so inconsistent. Watson told BuzzFeed News after an awkwardly long handshake that Tyson called a Native American handshake. He held her shoulders and said, "I want to hug you so bad right now, but I know that if I do, I'll just want more." She says she was forced to quit because of Tyson's advances. And there was a rape allegation, too. So it goes on and on, right? It goes on and on. Whether it's Neil deGrasse Tyson or someone in Senator Kamala Harris's office, they get a pass. They're supposed to be believed, not the women. Now let's turn to New Jersey, shall we? Katie Brennan testified before a joint committee in the state Senate, and she said in that committee, before that committee, that she was raped by a guy named Al Alvarez, a scumbag who worked for Phil Murphy's campaign for governor and then was hired despite the fact that Katie Brennan told them what happened, right? Now, again, if all women are to be believed, why is Katie Brennan not being believed? And perhaps she should be, considering that she went to the police. She got a rape kit. It shows his DNA evidence. She's married. She's not looking for money. In fact, she was offered a payout, and she refused. So why would you not believe Katie Brennan? I don't think she got anything to gain here by doing this. And who the hell is Al Alvarez? It's not like she's accusing somebody famous. But again, I thought all women are to be believed, right? Okay, well, guess not. Katie Brennan has spoken. Who will be targeted now in the Murphy staff for sexual assault investigation? And why won't Murphy promise to cooperate with the rape probe? I'll call this rape gate at this point. Tom Moran is a big lefty writer at NJ.com, the Star Ledger, the Newark Star Ledger. He wrote the following. Katie Brennan swore her oath Tuesday and offered hours of scorching testimony about the Murphy administration's repeated failure to offer her a scrap of help after she reported that she was raped by a senior official in the governor's campaign. Horrifying as her story was, it was not new. The new twist is that the governor is reserving the right to stonewall the legislature's careful investigation of the facts by moving to block testimony of several senior aides. Where is the national media? Not only is this hashtag me too, this guy is refusing to cooperate with the bipartisan panel. I thought we're in the spirit of bipartisanship. Oh, they're so full of it, aren't they? Hopefully the governor will cooperate, says Senator Loretta Weinberg, a Democrat from Bergen County, the co-chair of the joint committee investigating Brennan's case. If they don't, we have the option of a subpoena. The big political danger to Murphy stems from his claim that he knew nothing about Brennan's rape allegation until the Wall Street Journal reported the story in October. Brennan testified Tuesday she told several senior Murphy aides about the allegation months earlier, and the other senior staffers in the governor's office learned of it indirectly. Those in the know included Pete Camerano, the chief of staff to the governor, Matt Plotkin, the chief counsel, and John Birkin, the chief campaign counsel. And that raises the question, how is it possible the governor of New Jersey didn't know when so many members of his inner circle did? Are we stuck in some weird echo of the Bridgegate scandal? Now, Tom Moran is, I say to him, bravo for writing that. Bravo. Tom Moran and I agree on nothing politically, but I say to him, bravo for writing this, because the difference, of course, is that with the Bridgegate scandal, it became what? National news. Day in, day out, national news. Day in and day out. And once it was alleged that Chris Christie knew and was covering it up, then it became even a bigger story. And then when it was alleged, when he came out and said, I knew nothing, then it was even a bigger story after that because, oh, you're the boss. How do you not know all this? Brennan, who volunteered in the Murphy campaign and works today as chief of staff to a state housing agency, was compelling and composed as she described a nightmare that stretched for 18 months, telling police, prosecutors, and aides to Governor Murphy. Finally, she sent an email to the governor himself, asking in vain for a meeting about a sensitive matter. It was all wasted effort, she said. She got a stiff arm. Well, the man she accused, Al Alvarez, got a $140,000 job at the agency that oversees school construction. Brennan kept bumping into Alvarez after the alleged rape, she said, and he kept his high-paying job months after she was promised by the Murphy campaign chief counsel he would be forced out. Even today, Brennan says she feels frozen out by members of the administration in her work on housing issues. There have been some invites and emails that seem like they should have come to me, and they didn't, she said. You know why? They're punishing her. They're punishing the victim. Governor Murphy's office is punishing the victim because they want her to shut up and go away. Where is CNN and MSNBC? It's pathetic, is it not? Let's see that ABC News and CBS News and Norah O'Donnell and Gail and the other guy have not been down in New Jersey once covering this. Gail King, Norah O'Donnell, and the other guy should be down here. Murphy concedes the failure to respond to Katie Brennan's rape allegation was a serious screw-up. Huh. Now, he says he didn't know anything about it. On Tuesday, the claim was on everyone's mind as Brennan named at least a half dozen Murphy aides who learned of the alleged attack directly from her or indirectly from those she told. The next step is obvious. The committee needs to call those folks to testify, but now the governor is saying he may not let them testify. Tom Moran writes, the governor has only weak cards to play. He could channel Richard Nixon and resist subpoenas by claiming executive privilege, and he could try to use political pressure to get the legislature to back off, but both tactics would probably fail. A claim of executive privilege would trigger a lethal fight with an uncertain outcome, ensuring that this scandal hangs around Murphy's neck for many months to come. Political pressure would likely be just as futile, given his poisonous relationship with Democratic leaders. The governor seems to hope the legislature will restrict itself to investigating the policies on sexual assault without deeply examining how his people blew this one or what he knew about it and when he knew it. Now, Katie Brennan deserves, obviously, to have justice, but don't we as taxpayers of New Jersey and even those who aren't taxpayers of New Jersey, don't you have a right to know what the governor knew and when he knew it? A half dozen top staffers to Governor Phil Murphy knew about the sexual assault claims for months, but the governor insists he was in the dark. Do you believe that? I don't. I don't believe that for a second. But again, if the national media could come down and cover two lanes out of three in Fort Lee being shut down because of the dispute over whether or not Governor Christie knew or didn't know, and he's a guy with political ambitions nationally, why are they not covering the story? Phil Murphy is going to be the head of the Democrat Governors Association. Chris Christie was the head of the Republican Governors Association. Why are they not covering the story? The answer is obvious, because he's a progressive Democrat. Not just a Democrat, a progressive. And whether it's the hypocrisy that you see with Kamala Harris, the hypocrisy with this, Neil deGrasse Tyson, Keith Ellison, Bill Clinton, and on, it's not hashtag me too. It's hashtag me get to do whatever I want, not you. Hashtag BS. Hashtag justice for thee, for me, not for thee, and on. It's pathetic is really what it is. Absolutely pathetic. All right, so the Murphy thing. My buddy just texted me, and he said, I agree with you, but where is Drudge Report on this? Where's Fox News? I don't know. I can't answer that question. I really don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I don't know. I don't get it. It's bizarre to me. At least it seems as if some of the other outlets should be covering it, too, besides us. We're like the only people talking about it.
But it just shows you the other outlets, where did they hear about it? So it's interesting. It's actually fascinating. The only person who I've heard talk about that law firm was Ioli. That when you made the law firm connection where Alvarez had worked and...
Oh,
that
Perkins Coal.
That's fascinating.
Which the dossier thing was Perkins Coal, the Russia dossier.
See, and I saw the law firm listed, but I did not put that together. So I thought that was really interesting.
And I know our friend up in New York, Curtis Sliwa, covered it today.
Yes.
And your husband was helpful in giving a play-by-play up there.
Yeah, because it'll be on the Jersey Matters show. So, in other words, Larry was talking about it. So.
And you did, for Jersey Matters, your show, you did a whole piece on it.
I did. So, in other words, I spent the day there. So, during the Katie Brennan hearings. Now, she would not talk afterwards to the media. To my knowledge, she is not granted broadcast media interviews.
Okay.
She has obviously done the Wall Street Journal, Kate King. She seems like she knows Kate King. Kate King might be an interesting person to interview as well. I don't know that anybody in broadcast has interviewed her, but it's a fascinating case. But one thing that struck me, you talked about, Zioli talked about Kavanaugh hearings. Imagine if everybody, all of the legislators in the Kavanaugh hearings had said that they believed the Dr. Ford. Let's say they all said, oh, this woman, everything she said, her tangible evidence, all of that is 100% credible.
Right.
And that is exactly what all of the legislators on this committee were saying. In other words, they have more than we have because they have all the emails, remember. They have the doctor's reports.
Yeah, they believe
reports.
Her. They believe Katie Brennan.
100%.
It's not like some don't, and she didn't use
Correct.
A little kid voice or anything like that. There was
right.
nothing like that.
And they were saying, oh, we have this email. Okay, this is the rape kit report. This is the... So they have all of the tangible evidence, all the documentation, and throughout the nearly five hours, they were making reference to that. I think that lends incredible credibility to the situation.
The story here, a half dozen top staffers knew about the sexual assault claims for a month, but Murphy insists he was in the dark. So either he's got the dumbest people working for him, and I know some of these guys, and they are very smart guys. I know Pete Camarano was chief of staff. He's a very bright guy. There's no way they would not let the governor know. And then he's emailing with Katie Brennan over the summer. Yesterday comes out the big dope, and he says, they told me to stop emailing her.
Yeah.
Phil Murphy comes out and goes, they told me, my lawyers, I can't remember which one, but they said, stop emailing her. And you never asked why? You never said, why can't I email her? And you're telling me that his chief counsel, your chief counsel, never bothered to let you know why they're telling you not to email her? I don't buy that. I'm calling BS on that. I'm calling BS from a mile away on that. Well, he's saying, Dawn, he may not let people testify now.
And
this is a huge cover-up.
Like?
Right. You have a bipartisan committee.
Right.
Are we not in the era of bipartisanship this week? A kinder, gentler nation of bipartisan. So a bipartisan committee, they want to have the governor's top staffers come and they want to ask the question, what did the governor know? When did he know it? And he is saying now he may not let them speak. He may not let them go before the bipartisan committee. And again, no one outside of our area cares about this. It's amazing.
It is amazing to me.
I got to hand it to the Zioli Army because they are tweeting this and Facebooking this and trying to get attention for it. Count Grant Stangela, Cory Booker, and the Tears of Rage band has yet to say anything on this, even though Katie Brennan's his constituent.
Yes.
No Spartacus moment for Katie Brennan. Pathetic. Really is. Pathetic. I'm just glad that we've been covering this. We have from day one,
yeah,
by the way.
Day one.
And other
good
people
job.
Are catching on, but not as good as we have. Well, yeah, I mean, you first reported it in your newscast. I heard about it in your newscast, and I went, wait, what the hell is she talking about? Now, let's see here. I want to play for you this now. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the It Girl, she, like, totally wants to fight, like, climate change. Like, totally. This is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez about global warming and what would happen there, like totes, magotes, cut
it's
one.
It's inevitable that we can use the transition to 100% renewable energy as the vehicle to truly deliver and establish economic, social, and racial justice in the United States of America.
That sounds awesome!
That is our proposal, and that is what we are here to do, because in the depths of darkness, in the depths of despair, which what we last saw, you know, when we think about where we were when the New Deal was established. We were a nation in depression.
Wait. When where we were, or the Japanese Americans he put in a concentration camp? Wait, FDR, I'm confused. I'm confused by that.
In Great Depression, we were a nation on the brink of war. We saw the rise of fascism creeping across in Europe. And no one would thought that a nation so poor, so scarce, and so in such dire straits as we were in that time could pursue such a bold economic
agenda.
Is she
that dumb? Is she really that historically ignorant? Is that possible that somebody could be historically that we were such a poor country back then? What? Obviously, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, whatever school she went to, they should name it after her and also close it so other kids don't go there. We were in a poor country back then.
Wait, is she talking about America?
Yes. Does she not understand the Great Depression, who it affected and where it affected, but also other people did quite well? Does she not? Obviously not. So how do we fight World War II? Sticks? How do we build all those boats and cars and tanks and everything like that and pay Captain America for his time?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Wow. All right. So go ahead.
But we chose to do it anyway. We had the courage to do it anyway. And that is what this moment demands of us right now.
Economic,
that's what we
racial.
Have to do. We have to. This is going to be
social
the great
justice.
Society, the moonshot, the civil
oh,
rights
God.
Movement
oh,
of our generation.
God.
That is the scale. That is the
She's
scale
very good
of the ambition that this movement is going to require.
Woo! Now, she brought up fascism. Did she not bring up fascism?
She did, yes.
She did, right? Okay.
She threw it all in.
Now, I don't know what she's going to say in this next clip. I do know this, though. In fascism, what she's warning us about, in fascism, they wind up taking over all of the private entities, and they become public. The government takes them over. That's what fascism is. The government, one central government, they take over everything. Let's hear her talk about Tesla now, shall we?
There's a lot of work that has already been done, but it needs to be consolidated and brought under the tent of a Green New Deal. And when we try to solve this issue piecemeal, we are not going to get it solved in time. That's why we are asking for this really great, ambitious, singular plan. And that is why, you know, I believe that the progressive movement is the only movement that has answers right now. We're the only ones that are drawing from the lessons of history, from Franklin Delano Roosevelt. From some of the most ambitious.
Does she think the country started under FDR?
It did.
The only one she ever mentions is FDR. You notice that? She's literally never mentioned another president.
He was one of our founding fathers.
It's like she went to the FDR Memorial in D.C. and that's the only thing she remembers. That's it.
Field trip.
Yeah. Right. It was a field. Exactly. Field trip, and that's the only one she can think of all the time. Also, it's easy. FDR.
Yep.
Just three letters. It's like, oh, whenever I forget, I can just go FDR. Right, FDR, FDR. Okay, great. How do you spell internment camp? All right, go ahead, Greg.
Some of the most ambitious projects that we have pursued in American history. And that truly, again, is the scale that it's going to take. So, you know, I think that there's so much work that has been done, and there's some outlying questions, especially when it comes to investment in technologies. When we as a public choose to invest in private, when we as a public choose to invest in new technologies, we deserve a return on that investment. And for far too long, we gave money to Tesla, we gave money to a ton of people, and we got no return on our investment that the public made in creating technologies. And it's about time that we get our due, because it's the public that funded and financed a lot of innovative technologies, and that's another, you know, thing
Let
to go.
So look for your check from Tesla in the mail.
I'm sure I got mine today.
You got yours today? Awesome.
I'm sure they'll be right on that, right? Yeah.
Because when we the public, can she... Did she take a grammar class in high school? We the public? That's in the Bill of Rights, you know. When we the public have had enough with that freaking king over there, when FDR said enough is enough and declared our independence, we the public said enough.
Instead of we the people, why did she just say we the people?
That's my point. I don't think she don't think she knows that. We the public. Like, there's the public viewing section. All right, now we got a lot more to get to, by the way. And then she also talks about impeaching the president because of the emoluments clause, which I'm going to go on record and say she doesn't know how to spell the emoluments clause or even where to find the emoluments clause. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, where is the emoluments clause? Like, I think it's on 14th Street. It's not a club. It's not the Emoluments Club. It's a clause in the Constitution.
It's a very hip club.
It's very, very hip. It's awesome. Just name me the article. Which article is it? Which president signed it into law? That's a trick question. But the answer is FDR.
FDR.
Now let's have constitutional scholar Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez talk about the president and impeachment and the Emoluments Clause. By the way, Dawn, I don't know if you know this, that substitute teacher in New Jersey told everybody that the Emoluments Clause isn't real.
Oh my God. Wow. It's good.
That wasn't mine. That, I got to give Dan credit for that. No. All right. So let's.
You're the host. Always take credit for it.
I always take credit for it. I know. I know. But it's. I don't think it's that good. So I'm. The truth is, I'm not really. I don't love it, but, you know, so.
It's good.
All right, so let's play her, please.
So what do you think after the Russia developments? Do you think the Democrats should go in that direction?
Well, we're seeing here is really serious questions with respect to the emoluments clause.
And so, like, as soon as I figure out, like, what the emoluments clause is and whether or not he knows if I've been naughty or nice, I'm totally going to, like, look into that. All right, so that's the spirit of bipartisanship right now. The Democrats are already talking about impeachment, but we're all asking, where's the bipartisanship? Now, let's see here. Chris Matthews urges Beto O'Rourke to run in 2020. Remember he was compared to RFK during the campaign?
Yes.
Right, Robert F. Kennedy, even though he's more like Ted Kennedy because he ran from a drunk driving accident. But anyway, this is Chris Matthews now, cut three.
Let me finish tonight with a strong suggestion. It's that Beto O'Rourke should run for president. I got a good look at Beto's race for Senate when we hosted the Hardball College Tour at the University of Houston. There was magic in that room like we when we hosted a Hardball College Tour at Westchester University up in Pennsylvania in 2008 for Senator Obama. Democrats respond to magic. I have a reason for urging a Beto run. I believe that elections should be about the future. And to those who say Beto can't win a Senate race in Texas, let me remind you of George Herbert Walker Bush, who lost two races for the Senate in Texas.
So Beto O'Rourke is now like George H.W. Bush. RFK, George H.W. Bush. Basically, anybody Chris Matthews wants to compare him to, he's like that person. All right, rock star Beto O'Rourke. Now he's just like Bush 41. CNN bashes Trump 6 minutes after the Bush funeral ends. They waited a whole 6 minutes. I really got to give him credit for that. A whole 6 minutes after the funeral ended, CNN, in the spirit of bipartisanship and kindler, gentler, bringing the nation together, cut four.
You don't hear, I mean, to John's point, Gloria, you don't hear much humility, you don't hear much humor from the White House, certainly these days. It certainly was a different kind of perspective that George H.W. Bush had.
Everything about this was different.
I was struck by the fact that George H.W. Bush was the chief architect of a world that is being dissolved now. He is the chief architect of the revitalization of NATO, of the revitalization of the United Nations, of NAFTA, all of the key parts of the post-Cold War world that George H.W. Bush believed were necessary to keep the peace and make the world prosperous. One of the things that's striking about George Bush is he did not like ideologies. He didn't like inflexibility. He was a pragmatist. Look, he was a moderate conservative Republican, and he was uncomfortable when people didn't give.
It's like every label.
Compromise.
No, but the parties, you know, the truth of the matter is that...
Does anyone not stutter on that show, on that channel? Does anyone not? Just spit it out.
What is going on in our country now is that the Bush party, the Bush Republican Party, is gone, and the Trump Republican Party is dominant. And I think that this is the struggle that is underlying what we saw today.
All right. The struggle's real, kids. The struggle's real. 6 minutes after the funeral ends. 6 minutes. And then Joe Biden, he also now goes after the spirit of our nation right now. He's at the Lantos Foundation annual gala just hours after he attended the funeral of George H.W. Bush. Take a listen.
We are in a battle for the soul of this nation. We have to recognize trend lines are moving in the wrong direction. Earlier this year, the Anti-Defamation League published reports of anti-Semitic incidents that rose nearly 60% alone in 2017. The largest one-year increase since the Carter Keeping Records in 1970. It's not an accident.
Not an accident.
It's not an accident. Our leadership is giving license to this prejudice.
Got it?
Yeah.
And if you want your prejudice license, remember, you got to get it renewed every year. You got to show your hate. So the hate stencil, You got a stencil with hate if you want your license to be renewed, okay?
It's not an accident. It's not an accident.
He sounds like a creepy guy calling women, right? Like, what are you wearing?
It's not an accident.
Then I'm outside on your driveway.
It's not an accident.
It's just, does he not sound creepy? Like, like, you know, the phone rings. Hello? Hello?
It's not an accident.
Wait, what isn't?
It's not an accident.
Wait, what?
It's so bad.
I got it. I just can't even.
You can make funny phone calls with creepy Joe Biden. I think there might be something there.
Hello?
It's not an accident.
What isn't?
It's not an accident.
What? But my husband's going to be home soon.
Chip is getting licensed. Giving license.
What? Wait, what? Well, I don't think I have a license. I'm not.
Just giving license.
No, I can't drive yet.
Giving license.
Oh, it's creepy. Oh.
It's not an accident.
Stop. Make it stop. I'm genuinely creeped out by this right now. Creepy Joe Biden prank phone calls.
It's not an accident.
Well, we just got another bid for the show. Oh, man, that is fantastic. This is definitely going into production.
It's not an accident.
Without question. Now, a guy called 911 because he saw a Christmas display. Now, why did this happen, by the way? Why did this happen? An Austin passerby. This guy, I love this guy. So, remember in the movie Christmas Vacation when Chevy Chase is trying to put the Christmas lights up and he falls off the ladder and he's hanging off the roof, yes, hanging on the side of the gutter? Well, you can actually buy a Christmas display of this. You can buy this and you can make this for your house. So this house in Austin did this. They did this. They had an actual, they dressed him up exactly like Chevy Chase, and there's this mannequin hanging off a gutter. Now, here's the story of the Austin passerby freaking out over this, and this is their news package, including the guy. Take a listen.
Help!
Well, this guy thought he was saving someone holding on for dear life, and it turns out a Northwest Austin homeowner's Christmas display may have looked a little too real. Chris Betts joins us now, and Chris, that was kind of the point.
Exactly, Quita. The Wheelis family just wanted to win a decorating contest. They spent a lot of time making this look straight out of National Lampoon's movie, and they did such a good job, someone actually called police.
Sometimes Christmas wishes do come true.
I hope he falls and breaks his neck.
But unlike Warner Bros. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, all this Northwest Austin homeowner wanted was to win the annual neighborhood contest. Instead, they gave a passerby a nearby heart attack.
He was doing everything he could to get the ladder and like save Clark.
All right. Can you reach it? Can you reach it? Help!
He even called 911. Here's an Austin police officer stopping by the house moments later.
I've seen it before. I mean, I've seen this other places before, but people start calling him.
Okay. He didn't give up. He was going to save whatever he had to do. He was going to save old Clark Griswold.
Leah Wheelis's sister and brother-in-law live here. They felt awful when they saw the Nest Cam video and the poor guy's reaction.
It had only been up for a day, right?
Only had been up for one day. And so we actually put up a sign because we didn't want that to happen to anybody else. We felt so bad. That Clark G is part of our Christmas display. Please do not call 911.
Turns out it's just a dummy with a really realistic Clark Griswold mask and clothes from Goodwill that match the movie perfectly.
We'd love to be able to.
By the way, my absolute favorite is when he goes, please hold on. Mister, please hold on. That is my favorite. That makes the entire thing. This poor guy, what a good guy.
Can you reach it? Help!
He even.
Oh, man.
I can't find the.
What
promises.
A decent guy. Yeah. Like, really, I just. Mister, please hold on. That is my favorite line in that. Some breaking news. The president, a short time ago, bashing Mueller and the Mueller probe, which is expected to wrap up any day now. As you can imagine, 855-839-1210 is our number. The Zioli Show right up to Levin at 6:06. I mentioned yesterday the Supreme Court hearing the double jeopardy case. This could have an impact on Mueller's probe. I don't know how many other people talked about this, but the Supreme Court of the United States is hearing a case regarding a guy in Alabama who was found guilty on a crime in Alabama, a gun charge. And then the feds said, well, we want to charge him, too. And the feds went after him and they charged him. And they got a guilty plea. They got more. So he's got to do prison time on both the state and federal level. And the question is whether or not that is unconstitutional under the double jeopardy clause in the Bill of Rights. I personally think it is. I've long said that. But this really has implications for the Mueller probe, too. Because if you remember something I told you a few days ago, Michael Cohen is cooperating with three legal entities. One of those entities is the Attorney General of the state of New York. And Mueller's whole thing, I believe, and other people have saying this as well, is that if the president were to fire him, then the Attorney General of the state of New York would just pick up right where he left off and go after them for whatever similar crimes were violated on the state level. And in this day and age now, there are almost identical laws on the state and federal level. Almost identical on almost everything. Especially because New York State has a lot of the, obviously with Wall Street there, financial companies, they've got a lot of laws that other states don't even have, of course, which is why some companies don't even do business in New York, or they license in other states as their primary headquarters. But New York State Attorney General ran for the position by saying she was going to stop Trump. So this case, this double jeopardy case, the question then becomes, if, say, for example, the president were to pardon Michael Cohen. If he pardons Michael Cohen tomorrow, there's nothing for Michael Cohen to plead to. There's nothing for him to cooperate on because his crimes go away. It's as if the crimes never happened. That's the power of a presidential pardon, but not on the state level. Because the state level, the state presidents can't pardon people on the state level. So then the question becomes, if he's pardoned on the federal level, would that then abolish him of the same crimes from the state's perspective? Well, nobody knows because it hasn't been tested in court yet. And the Supreme Court gave itself this power. It gave the government this power. It decided that there was this concept of shared authority under federalism. I think it's a gross overreach by the courts. I mean, not that there's anything new with this, but this is one of the examples of gross overreach. Congress didn't pass this law. It's not in the Constitution. The idea of, well, you know, you can't be tried twice for the same crime unless it's the feds going after you or the state going after you after the other one lost in court or something like that. But the question then becomes, if Trump were to pardon all these people tomorrow, which he could do, pardon everybody, pardon Flynn, Cohen, everybody, then would they be immune from prosecution on the state level? Under the system now, the answer is no. The answer is no. And that's what I think Mueller's big play is this entire time. It's why he's not worried about getting fired. So the president just went after Mueller again, this investigation, calling it rigged and a witch hunt. And it's expected to wrap up very soon. But he said, without the phony Russia witch hunt and with all that we have accomplished in the last 2 years, my approval rating would be at 75% rather than 50%, just reported by Rasmussen. It's called presidential harassment, is what he said. So there you go. All right. We got to do a bunch of stuff. We're out of time. So we'll do the 911 thing tomorrow. We can swim in it again tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Why not? Right.
I mean, it has to. I mean, we should spend more time on it.
We should
dissect the
gentleman. Dissect it and analyze it. We'll do that for sure.
Please hold on.
It's my favorite. Please hold on.
Oh, mister, please hold on.
It's just so great.
Oh, mister, please hold on.
Aww.
What a good guy.
He's a good Samaritan.
He's a good Samaritan. I love the Alabama accent. It's Alabama, right?
Yeah. No, it's Texas.
Texas.
Austin, Texas, yeah.
Love it. And that's the Clark Griswold. All right, so let's do it, Greg.
Oh, yes. Sorry.
No, it's all right.
Who won Twitter?
I'm going to give it to Nick Danger, third high. He says, Rich, I saw Tears of Rage with Spartacus Booker open for the EIO band in 98 at the Wildwood Convention Center. Awesome show. Would have loved to have been there with him.
Outstanding. Outstanding.
Way to tie everything together and make it local, too.
Make it local. Speaking of local, Flemington Furs
wow.
sponsors
yes.
Who Won Twitter. They're right in Flemington, New Jersey. And Flemington Furs is what fabulous feels like. Excuse me.
Okay.
His yeah. fur in his throat.
Got a
oh,
little.
No.
Well,
it's like that Greg, Larry David episode.
Oh gosh.
Oh my. What is? She needs to be.
So glad the sober adult on the show.
You're supposed to. Oh my God.
Sorry.
Yeah, aren't you supposed to rein us in?
Yes.
I tell you what, Dawn, you make my veins bulge sometimes with your comments.
Riccioli 306, Talk Radio 1210, WPHD. Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.